Amen. Let's go to John 3. And we'll read verses 16 and 17. And then we're going to zip over to Hebrews 11, 6. Are you at John? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In Hebrews 11, 6, in the King James says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Contemporary English version said we must believe that contemporary English version says that we must believe that God is real. The expanded Bible says we must believe he is real and he exists. We have to believe those things. Because if we don't believe them, how can we trust someone in whom we don't believe? So if we say, I trust you, Lord, and he gives us some instructions and we don't do it, did we mean it when we said, we trust you, Lord? Apparently there's something about his character that we didn't quite understand because we didn't feel comfortable enough doing what he said. Well, since he's God, there's something wrong with that. We need to feel very comfortable. Pastor Ed and I were talking about this, I believe, this past week. You know, in any relationship, it grows and matures, and we've gotten to the place where we're very comfortable with one another's choices. We hear things differently, but just because we hear it different doesn't mean we're not hearing different things. We hear the same thing differently. Why? Well, we're two different people. But we trust each other. We've spent time with each other. We know one another. We know each other. And so we can trust. I can trust what he says. I can feel comfortable. Even if I may have a different, you know, point of view or different perspective or different opinion, I can trust what he says. Because I know him. How did you get to know him? We spent time. Talking, butting heads, healing the butts, you know, all of those things that just go along with developing a relationship. I can trust my wife. As a matter of fact, she's the only person I could sit in the car with riding and fall asleep. I mean, a good sleep, not one of those rest your eyes sleeps. I just trust her. I don't. Whatever God blesses us with, I don't have to concern myself with what is she doing with it. It's my wife, my covenant partner. I trust her. Still breaking. I want a mic running interference for you. Let's look at Ephesians 1. Some familiar scripture. I know Pastor Ed has been sharing it with you. We were talking and it came out and I saw it in the Phillips translation, Phillips New Testament, and the Holy Ghost said, share it with you. Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 19 is out of Phillips. Says, since then I heard of this faith of yours in the Lord Jesus and the practical way in which you are expressing it towards fellow Christians. I thank God continually for you, and I never give up praying for you, and this is my prayer, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the all-glorious Father will give you spiritual wisdom and the insight to know more of him, that you may receive that inner illumination of the Spirit, which will make you realize how great is the hope to which he is calling you, the magnificence and splendor of the inheritance promised to Christians, and how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God. How tremendous is the power available to us, and all we have to do is just believe in God. So we have to get wisdom and understanding as to who God is, and more importantly, what that means to all of us. To all of us. And we're going to do that by just examining his names. Because names very often mean something. You hear a name, and if it's familiar and you have knowledge, a mental picture comes. And also an expectation comes when you hear names. I mean, we did a little exercise the last time I was here. Yeah, I said, what do you think if I said Cheesecake Factory? You know, and I think three people tried to run out and get something to eat. No, just kidding. But there's an expectation that comes. If someone says, I'm taking you to the Cheesecake Factory, that may be a good picture to some. It may not be to others based on your experiences and your dietary requirements. You know, some folk, you can think about this. You can have just finished your fourth helping of Thanksgiving dinner, and someone says, you know, I think we need to go on a fast, you immediately get hungry again. Right? Your stomach's out to here. Okay. But because you hear fast and you know that means I don't eat. I better eat some more food now. Okay. Right? Just from a name. And your understanding as to what that name means. So when we hear the name God, when we hear the name Jesus, there should be an expectation, there should be an excitement. Something should start stirring in us because we understand just what that name means. We found out that he's the one true God. That lets us know in spite of any circumstances, he takes care of it. Period. He's the one true God. Nebuchadnezzar found out the hard way. And he had to say to the three Hebrew boys, your God is the God of kings and the God of gods. He said, no God can save in this manner. He's the one true God. We found out that he is, I am. He's always there. Period. Wherever you go, he goes with you, he goes before you. You don't go anywhere by yourself. And we really need, if you physically saw God walking with you every day, are there some things you wouldn't say? Or are there some places you might not go? Are there some people you might minister to? Because God is with me. That's why we need that revelation.
We say, he's the great I am. Well, I better get my act together because he's right here with me. All right. It also lets us know that he'll never desert us, leave us, run from us, let us go. I mean, he's in there for the long haul. We discovered that God is El Shaddai, the almighty God. The only being that can do whatever he wants for whomever he wants all by himself. Doesn't need anybody's help. Doesn't need anybody's input. He's all sufficient. And he has, I like this. This was in one of the commentaries that I read. That the sufficiency of God is adequate for him to deal victoriously and even destructively with his enemies all by himself. It emphasizes God's ability to handle any situation that confronts his people. Who handles any situation that confronts us? God. We need, how many of you have tried to handle it? See, but now that we have the revelation that God handles all of these things, we just need to step out of the way and say, okay, Father, I guess they're going to have to learn the hard way. Okay. Instead of us learning the hard way. We need to understand that there is nothing too hard for God. We talked about him being Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. And we realize because of his provision, because he said he would provide, what you're going through currently doesn't negate what he said. We need to understand that. Look at Isaiah 55. I'm going to share verse 10 and 11. I'm going to share them out of the Good News Bible.
Something about the way it says verse 11. In verse 10, he said, my word is like the snow and the rain that come down from the sky to water the earth. They make the crops grow and provide seed for planting and food to eat. Listen to this. So also will be the word that I speak. It will not fail to do what I plan for it. It will do everything I send it to do. So the only question is, what word has God said concerning you? And do you trust him enough to let him do it? Because he said, my word, it does everything that I send it to do. So now I'm going to share an observation. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, this is an observation. Okay. Say, tell your other neighbor, say, this isn't anything that's designed to criticize or put down. Say, uh-oh. No, it's just an observation. Okay. Too many folks caught up with symptoms. Too many people sick. Too many believers. Too many members. If we had a call for healing every Sunday, every service, same people will come. This is what we've just been observing. And we've had some major moves of the Holy Ghost. We've had prophecies flying all over the place. And I don't say that disrespectfully. I'm just saying it's just been out there. Yet there's still folks struggling with things. And as a pastor, you have to ask yourself why. I remember Pastor Clinton said one Sunday, came out here, he said, you know, I noticed something. Too many people dying. Because we had went through, I think it was 4 or 5, where folks just went home to be with the Lord. And he, as the senior pastor, he had enough. There's just too many. But we need to understand our spiritual benefits. Look at Mark 16. And this I'm going to share. There was this new translation I found called the Disciples' Literal New Testament. And what I liked about it is that some of the verses it shares it from a different perspective. It speaks in past tense. You know, but by that I mean it talks to us as if we're already doing it. And I guess it does that because as disciples of Christ, we should be doing it. But in verse 15 of Mark 16, it says, he said to them, listen to this, having gone into all the world. That's a little different than go. Yes. Having gone into all the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. The one having believed and having been baptized will be saved. But the one having not believed will be condemned. And these signs will accompany the ones having believed in my name. Right there is a condition. You have to be believing. You have to be in the process of believing in the name of Jesus to do what he said.
Amen.
Lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, having believed. See, that gives us a little window into one of the issues with why we're not getting all we're supposed to get. There's some conditions. And the conditions to lay hands on the sick, the conditions to cast out demons, conditions to speak in new tongues, you have to be believing. It says, having believed. You have to be believing in the name. And if you are believing in the name, all of those things will follow. Not might, they will follow. But we have moments of unbelief. And even a moment of unbelief can cause dire consequences to a believer. This gives us two principles. Using the name of Jesus will do nothing for you if you don't believe in the name. It will not work on your behalf if you don't believe there is a God-authorized power in the name. It will not work for you if you don't have the revelation that all the power of the Godhead is resident in the name of Jesus. You have to already believe that. The second principle is this. God has some expectations for us in order to appropriate what he's promised. And so many times we will spend a lot of time reading about the benefits and not looking at the requirements. That's like you'll see an ad for a credit card. It'll say, you know, no interest for the first 18 months. And you're like, yeah. And you have a card that's at 9% interest. You say, no interest for 18 months? I'm going to transfer everything over here. I didn't take the time to compute and see, can you get this thing paid off in the 18 months? But more importantly, if you read the fine print, you'll see after 18 months, that interest rate goes up to 23%. I didn't know that. Right. You didn't take time to find out exactly what it is that you're being presented with. Didn't take the time. We have to take the time to find out who God is. Now look at Exodus 15. Because here he introduces a new characteristic of himself. Exodus 15, I'm going to read verses 22 to 26. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sir, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. See, so again, names are important. And if you see a lake and it says Marah, you say, that's bitter. I'm not drinking that water. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Do you think the God that you just saw part the Red Sea can at least provide you with a drink of water? Okay. But the people murmured. And Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And listen to this. It says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, keep all his statutes. Say all of them? Yes, he said, keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee. And when you study that out, you find out that put means allow. He said, I will not allow any of these diseases to come upon you, which I allowed on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He said, if you look up that phrase, he said, I am Jehovah Rapha. That's who I am. And we say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jehovah Rapha is here. He's the Lord my healer. We forgot the conditions. What were the conditions? That's right. He said, if thou wilt hearken, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. So again, you have to believe that the voice you're hearing is the God, the one true living God. And then you have to do something. You have to hearken to that voice. You have to do what we're told to do. Rapha means to heal or to make healthful. So it's not just healing, it's living healthy. And God said, I'm the Lord that does that. I heal you, I keep you healthy. See, when you think about it, because I didn't think about it this way until during praise and worship. So, who do you think met the three Hebrew boys in the furnace? Did they need, you say, well, they didn't need healing. Oh, really? They needed to stay healthy. Can you imagine the toxic fumes and things that were in that furnace? Aside from the burned remains of the guards that were incinerated, you think that's good to breathe all that stuff into your lungs? No. Someone had to keep them. They didn't just protect them from the fire, they were protected from the effects of the fire. And when I never looked at Jehovah Rapha in that point, in that aspect before, but when I think about it, I say, hey, this makes sense. Yeah, I need to be safe from the flames. I also need protection from the toxic fumes that accompany it. I mean, when we say people, you know, burn to death in a fire, it's not necessarily that they burn to death. They were asphyxiated from the fumes. But that didn't happen to those boys because they believed in the one true living God. They believed he was almighty. And they were doing what they were supposed to do. They did not compromise who they were, even though they were facing what should have been a horrible death. But he said, I am the one of the other translations means restored favor. Jehovah Rapha, restored favor. And it also says, order to get healed. So God will, he'll create an atmosphere for your healing. He'll create it. But you have to do something. You have to believe that he is, and you have to be doing what he's told you to do. It says, hearken diligently. Remember those principles. That if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's believing. Do which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commands and keep all his statutes. That's God's expectation. We meet those two categories. We're good. We don't, we're not good. And it's our fault. Not the devil's fault. It's our fault. Lester Summerall wrote something, and I've been reading his book, The Names of God. He wrote that people would always ask why questions. Why haven't I been healed, Lord? Why did my mom die? Why was my baby born handicapped? We have a lot of why questions, but Exodus 15:26 gives some insight into many of the questions we have about healing. Listen to this. So many of our why questions would be answered if we only looked at the way we live and compared it with the standard of living required by the Word of God. We need to think of that. Am I living the way God has instructed me to live? Am I doing that? And notice it doesn't say, I'm trying to do it. He says, are you doing it? And we're the only ones as individuals who can answer that. I can't answer it for my wife, and she can't answer it for me. We have to answer that question for each other, and no doubt, it doesn't make sense to lie about it because God already knows. But when we stand there and say, Father, I know you told me to do A, B, C, D, and I haven't even started A yet. And I repent for that, Father. Please forgive me. I'm starting right now. God will do what he said. He said, if you confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the moment you do that, as far as God is concerned, he had just given you the command and you started doing it. Everything that's available to you, that was available to you, is available again. You now can access it. See, on some automobiles, there's a code you can press in and it'll unlock the door. When we don't do what God says, it's like the combination has changed. And we're punching all the buttons and nothing's opening. The minute we get it right, he doesn't give you a new combination. The original one now works. You can go there and just put in a number. 93720. That's not the number to our car. It's just a random number. And click, everything opens up. You now have full access. Full access. Why? You got it right with God. And Jehovah Rapha was able to allow you to take what he brought to you. So what do you mean what he brought to you? Well, he said he sent his healing. Look at Psalm 107. Verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I'm going to, stay with me on this. John 1 in the Expanded Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word refers to Christ. Christ is God's revelation of himself. The Word was with, in the presence of, an intimate relationship with God the Father, and the Word was fully God. So if the Word was fully God, is fully God, and God sent his Word and healed us, who did he send? He said, I am God who heals you. God and Jesus are one. The Word was fully God. I sent the Word and healed you. See, when he sent Jesus, he sent Jehovah Rapha. It was all part of the package. All part of it. He said, yeah, but it said he sent his word and healed us. He did. He sent his word and healed us. I have an iPad here. It has notes on it. It's here for me. I can choose not to read it. Does that mean it wasn't sent? Does that mean it's not doing what it's supposed to do? It has all the information I need is on it. I choose to turn my back to it. Is it of benefit to me? No. No. It only becomes a benefit when I decide to use it and to use it properly. Not to keep the door propped open, you know, but to get the information that it is sharing with me. He sent his word and healed us. We have to find out what it is that we should be doing to appropriate that healing that's already there. It's already there. It's already there. Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Well, let me read it the way the Amplified Bible says. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. When God sent Jesus, he was sending his word, and he sent the word who was fully God and healed us. Healed us. Remember in John 1, 14, and the word became and did what? Dwelt among us. And what did we do? We saw his glory. And we saw that it was the glory, according to the Message Bible, it says the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside out, true from start to finish. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, came in all his glory. And we all saw it. And we have to make a choice as to whether or not we're going to believe it. We got to make that choice, folks. We have to be aware that God has expectations. We all remember the account of Naaman. Okay, 2 Kings. I want to share this, and there's one other thing I want to share with you. You know, Naaman was well known. He actually probably was pretty full of himself, you know, because of his notoriety. And I guess the fact that he was a leper didn't diminish that. Okay. But naturally, he wanted to be cleansed. And so a series of events happened. He decided that he's going to go and see God's prophet, Elisha. And he goes to see Elijah, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot. He made this grand entrance. Here I am. I am Naaman. And you're going to give me what I want. I didn't give you the chapter, 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5. I'm at verse 9. I just read verse 9. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger. Elijah didn't come himself. He sent a messenger. Sometimes Pastor Ed and I will have to send deacons or elders. For whatever reason, we can't go ourselves. So we'll send a messenger. He sent the messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. You would think that Naaman would have did backflips all the way to the Jordan. It's like, that's all I have to do? I can do that. Yeah, away we go. It says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought, see, that's our first mistake. We think too much, okay? I thought he will surely come out to me and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman wanted a spectacular presentation. And we laugh, but before we laugh too much, too many of us are looking for spectacular presentations. See, Naaman wasn't satisfied with Elisha sending a messenger. Naaman wanted the real deal. He wanted the man himself to come. After all, I'm Naaman. I don't deserve for the prophet himself to come and call down heaven and earth to clean me of this leprosy. You're going to send some two-bit flunky who's going to tell me to go and dip it of all places in the Jordan River. There were other rivers that he mentioned. However you pronounce them. I looked and I said, what's so special about those? They went through lush valleys, picturesque mountains. The scenery around these rivers were great. And I guess he thought the folks would just say, look at Naaman. Look at him. Look what God's doing to him. Send him right here to get him cleansed. No, he said, go into the Jordan River. The Jordan River. And I guess the Jordan River, Pastor Ed, was their equivalent of the Hudson. When I first moved to the county, they had a Hudson River Blue Crab Festival. And I'm like, he crabs from the Hudson River. And in the newspaper, they had an FAQ section. And the first question, is it safe to eat crabs from the Hudson River? I kid you not, folks. The answer was, it's safe to eat three. I kid you not. And I'm thinking, I wonder what size. And what's going to happen if I just get into it and eat four? Am I going to glow in the dark? You know. But Naaman would not acknowledge the power and authority in the word of the messenger of the man of God. He didn't have Jehovah Rapha in person, he thought. But we need to understand whom God authorizes has the same power he has to do what he wants to have done. Amen. And so because he gave the word to Elisha, Elisha gave it to his messenger. It didn't lose any power coming from God to Elisha and then again from Elisha to the messenger. The same power it had when it was first given, it had when it came out of the mouths of the messenger. We need to understand that. Hallelujah. And stop taking it slightly because it's not the pastor, or it's not Benny Hinn, or it's not whoever this famous person is that we think has to come and lay hands on us or speak a word over us. God will use who he wants to use. And we have to respect God's choice, and we'll never respect his choice if we don't believe it's him in the first place. Amen. So Naaman was so full of pride that he walked away. He still had his dignity. He still had his stride with him, but he is still a leper. Okay. You can have all the pride and dignity you want. When people see him, they run up and say, oh, let me give you a big hug. They're like, whoa. They back there, you know. But we have to acknowledge that whoever God sends is anointed. And they will do the work that the word sent them to do. Say, thank God for faithful servants. Verse 12. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, my father. See, they were so humble. I know they probably wanted to say, what in the world is the matter with you? He said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? That you would have done some big thing. So if you're willing to do a big thing, why not wash and get clean? Why not do what he said and be healed? That's the question you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself. Why not do what God says and be healed? Then he went down, Naaman, he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And guess what? His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Just like Jehovah Rapha said. But if he never does what Jehovah Rapha said, he wouldn't have been cleaned. And neither will we if we don't do what he says. Okay, this is my last one, Luke 5. I can't get this in a minute, 41 seconds, but I'll get it in quickly. Luke 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, who's he? Jesus, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Listen to this next part. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jehovah Rapha was there. Why do you think he was there to heal them? Obviously, they needed healing. It says the power of God was there to heal them. So they must have needed healing. And God provided it. They didn't get it. Because the next verse does not say, and they all fell out under the power of God and were healed. The next verse says, and behold, a man brought in a bed, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, meaning lay him down before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, there were so many people in the house they couldn't get in the door, they went upon the housetop, tore off the roof, and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now, folks, I don't know how much faith it takes for you to go to somebody's house and tear off their roof. Okay. But this man said, I'm getting what I'm supposed to, what I need to get. Right? He believed, and he was willing to do something to show that he believed it. Verse 20 says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When you think about that, God was forgiving them. He was just doing it through his son. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, what reason ye in your heart? Whether it's easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. And they should look at each other and said, yeah, say rise up and walk and then heal us. You know, see, some folks get so honorary that you rather stay sick than acknowledge God. Rather stay sick than acknowledge there's some things in your thinking, there's some things in your behavior that may need to change. We can't get so stuck and so comfortable being us that we're not willing to consider us might be wrong. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say to thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thine house. In other words, he said, get up, take your bed, go home. Now this man has a choice. He could have said, Lord, I hadn't been able to get up in years. And he'd still be in that bed. He believed that Jesus had the power to back up what he said. So he did what Jesus told him to do. He got up, picked up his bed. He was so confident, folks. See, some of us, we're in that state. We get up. He says, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. We're so happy we get up. We start dancing around. I can walk. I can move. This man, he was so full of belief. He said, pick it up and go on home. I mean, that's what he did. He departed to his own house, glorifying God. Jehovah Rapha, he's here. He's here right now. He's here right now to do exactly what he's sent to do. But you have to believe that God is. You have to believe that the power to heal and keep you healthy, since God said he will never leave us nor forsake us, and one of his names is Jehovah Rapha, then his healing will never leave us or never forsake us. Never leave us, never forsake us. We have to believe it, and we have to do what he says. Be aware, God has some expectations of us so that we can appropriate all that he has provided, and those expectations have to be met. I'm done. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. Thank you, Lord, for revealing more to us about who you are and letting us know that even though you are who you say you are, we have a responsibility to do what you tell us to do. You said you're the Lord that heals us. You sent your word and healed us. All we have to do is diligently obey everything that you've called us to do, because one of the reasons that you keep us healthy is so that we can be living examples of your goodness and your mercy and your power and your love. So if we're not doing that, there's no reason to keep us moving around down here on this planet. So we thank you, Lord, because we're learning how to take our attentions off of ourselves and put them on the work that you have called us to do and purpose to do that. We no longer have to strive to get healed. We were healed. We are healed. We have to strive to do the things we're supposed to do so that we can appropriate the healing that we already have. Thank you, Lord, that each day you will reveal to us individually, you will reveal to us the things that we must do to remain faithful, to remain true, to remain whole and healthy. We thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please.